just going to ease that down. Hope you guys are having a great week so far. I know things are a little bit cold here in Canada. Of course, you know, that's, you know, something we, I notice the older I get, the more my conversation often is either around health or weather. So forgive me for that, you youngins, that you might be tired of me talking about the weather. I think it's in Canada, we use the wind chill factor. So that means it's the temperature plus the temperature effect if, you know, when you factor in the wind. And so I think it's like minus 23 Celsius today. So with the wind chill. So that's pretty cold. I'm not sure. I'm a Canadian. I've grown up in this weather, but the older I get, the less that I can tolerate it. But I hope it's warmer where you are. And I'm just cheering you on. As you can see, I am live streaming today by myself. Typically, Mark would be with me. But our dear friend Mark had a last-minute housing issue, something in his home that he had to deal with, that with a repair that would make it too noisy for him to actually join the live stream. So I'm not sure if Mark is watching in the midst of all the repairs that are going on, but we miss you, Mark. And Mark and I were originally going to just have a conversation today. And so this is kind of a last minute thing for me to not have somebody to have a conversation with. But, you know, typically, you know, as I said to my wife, Anne, just before I came on to the live stream, I just said, I always ask that Papa rescues me every time I speak. And I don't just say that. I actually mean it. I just feel that it's one of those things where, you know, you have some ideas. And of course, I do have some thoughts. But, you know, it's just, I just need to be rescued every time. So appreciate your prayers that what I share today, what would be normally we, but will be something that would kind of make sense to you. And I just feel free to make comments in the chat. And, you know, I mean, it's a little easier when there's two of us. So when one of us is talking, the other one can actually, you know, look at the comments. Thanks, Mike. You can do it, Barry. I saw that. Yeah, I'm sure that things will work out. But so it's great to be back. As some of you know, I was away the first week of 2025. And, you know, we are now, I actually get confused, but we started, I think, in 2010. So 2025 is our 15th year. We are actually in that, and we will complete 15 years by the summer. So it's amazing that we've been doing this so long, that so many of our dear friends are hanging in with us. It'd been there in the earlier days. And for those who are new, we'd just like to welcome you. And just feel free to let us know where you're watching from. Typically, you know, we have people from, you know, quite a few countries, and it's just in different continents, and sometimes in Australia, New Zealand, and of course, a lot through Europe and North America. So, and it never gets old. I mean, just the fact that somebody would even want to come and listen to us after all the time that we've been doing this. So we really do appreciate each one of you, and pray that this is a blessing. So today, on my own, I want to talk a little bit about understanding our free will. And I think, you know, free will is a topic that, especially in theological circles, there can be all kinds of debates about free will and whether, you know, the more of the Calvinist approach versus the Arminianist approach, and, you know, whether, you know, what is all that, how does that all factor into that, you know, to the big picture of God. And I was actually watching a video when I was working out this morning from a very kind of very renowned Calvinist who's passed away, but it was just him talking about his idea of kind of predestination and all that stuff. I'm not getting into any of that today. Just to let you know, I'm not a theologian. You know, the way I describe myself is just a little boy with a big dad. So the simpler things are for me, the better. So I just rest assured, I am not going to be touching kind of the big picture theology of the free will. But I do want to talk about our personal free will and why God, I believe God has created us with a free will and what he wants us to do with that free will and what brings much joy to his heart. So before I start, I'm just going to pray. I'm just going to ask that the Father would just help me and help you to be able to just hear what the Spirit is saying. I pray that anything that I say that is of me will fall to the ground, but anything of the Lord that just resonates with your heart, that you would just be able to find some nourishment in what I'm having to share. So Father, we thank you that, you are completely free in your entire being, and you've created us to be free as well. And Father, I just pray that as we just, you know, dip our toe into this amazing expanse of your goodness and your kindness and the relationship that you desire and long for us to have in you, by the indwelling Christ in the Holy Spirit, that you would just, Father, I just ask that we would just all go deeper into the immeasurable expanse of your amazing love today, that we would know how much you long to hear that Abba cry that comes from the very core of our being, that you really are our Father. And so we just trust you, Father, and just speak to us, Lord. And Holy Spirit, I just welcome you to direct me in the way I should go in this hour that we're together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so we are talking about free will. And so I think one of the things that I'm not coming at this as a theologian. I'm not talking about the big picture of Calvinism versus Arminianism or any of that stuff. I am just talking about the desire that God has for us to walk in the freedom that he's created us to walk in so that we can have a vibrant relationship with him. And so really at the end of the day, at the beginning, whatever, when I am talking today, I'm talking about this idea of free will, which at the core of free will is freedom, right? And we know that God is absolutely free. Freedom is at the very heart of who God is himself. And 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom." So when we know that wherever God is present, there is this absolute beautiful freedom that is there because he himself is free. And so when we begin to understand that we were created in the image of God, right? That's what it says in Genesis 1:26 and 27, in his image, he created them, male and female, he created them. So both, all of humanity has been created in the image of the one who is absolutely free. So, and the reality is, if God is free and we were created in his image, then the reality is that we were created to experience freedom, and because he wants us to be free too. And, you know, I think, you know, one of the most poignant examples that I can think of is that, you know, sometimes we take freedom for granted, right? I get up in the morning and, you know, I can, you know, some people have to go to work and so there's some structure to that. But for the most part, you know, we have a lot of choices in life, right? We can do things what we want to do. But I don't know if you remember, and I'm sure you do, but, you know, a few years ago, it wasn't all that long ago, there was a global pandemic, and of course, with the coronavirus, COVID-19, that went around the globe, there were many countries that, you know, for safety's sake, they actually put a lot of restrictions on our freedom, right? You know, for us in Canada, we couldn't see our own children or grandchildren for 3 months. It was like, you know, we were locked down in our houses. At the time, we thought it was going to be 2 weeks. That's what was promised. And then it kind of went on and on. And then there was all these kind of rules that came in that you couldn't leave the house. If you were going out in your car, you had to go for groceries or a medical appointment and all these other things. You couldn't have, only a few people in your house. So it was during that time. I don't know about how you experienced that, but for me, I really came into a place where I started to feel this absence of freedom, that I felt like I was locked in my own home. And so it's one of those things, sometimes we take things for granted that until we lose it, we don't appreciate that we've had it. So, when I talk about freedom, at the core of who God is and how he made us free, I believe that's what makes us wonderfully human, that God wants us to exercise the freedom that he gave us. And when we see the first example of this for humanity, it was in the Garden of Eden, right? In Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, God is actually speaking to Adam and Eve, or he's actually speaking just to Adam. And he gives he makes a choice, right? He basically says, and the verse 16 says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die.'" So here's the first time in our origin, humanity, that we have a choice, right? God basically, there wasn't only two trees in the garden. There were probably lots of trees of every sort, probably amazing fruit, but there was the tree of life that was prominent and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that was prominent. And God said, you can eat of any tree. So it was only the one tree that they couldn't eat of. And so I don't know if you've ever asked the question, and I know I have personally, like, wouldn't it have been nice if there was only one tree in the garden, if there was only the tree of life, so that there was no other option, there wasn't the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? If that was the case, and if Adam and Eve couldn't have made a wrong choice, they couldn't have chosen separation from God or independence from God, that they had no choice, we would still be living in the garden today, right? Our parents would be in the garden, our grandparents, Adam and Eve would have been still in the garden. We could have went and visited them in their house. And so, so what gives, right? Like, why was there a choice even to begin with? Well, I just think that, when we really look at the essence of love, right? For love to be present, there has to be freedom of choice. That's just how love works. If love isn't present, if freedom's not there, then love, and all of a sudden now we are forced into something because we don't have another choice. But, I'll give you an example. If I forced my wife to marry me, would that be love? No, it wouldn't be, right? She had to choose to marry me or it wouldn't have been love. It would have been something else. It would have been an oppression or whatever. If I said to my children, you have to obey me, and if you don't obey me, that there's going to be serious consequences. Just because they obey me, it doesn't mean that they love me, right? They might be forced to, they might be intimidated to into obedience. But see, when love is present, love has to be voluntarily chosen. That's just how love works. So when we think of the garden, when we think of two trees in the garden, I can't theologically unpack all of the ramifications of the two trees. But in, kind of the basic sense is that God, in his very heart of hearts, it's like he wanted us to choose him. He wants us continually to choose him every day. And for love to be present, there is a huge risk, right? Because the reality is if you love somebody, you are opening your heart up to them. You are becoming vulnerable to them because you're risking that they may not love you back in the way that you're loving them. And that's just how God is with us. It's the most amazing thing. And, one of the most beautiful, intimate, but sad pictures of this in the Old Testament is when God is relating to Israel in Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. And God is like, he's just opening up his heart to his kids. Really, like, he's expressing the longing that he has in his heart for them to be sons and daughters to him. This is what it says in verse 19. God is speaking to Israel, and he says, I myself said, how gladly would I treat you like my children and give you a pleasant land, the most beautiful inheritance of any nation. I thought you would call me father and not turn away from following me. Now, I'm just going to stop there for a second. Do you hear the implied intent of God towards Israel? Oh, you know, I treated you like children, my children, and give you the most desirable land. I thought you would call me father and not turn away from following me. See, that was the heart of God. But he gave Israel the choice. And verse 20 is like, to me, it's just like a knife going into the heart of God when he says, but like a woman unfaithful to her husband, so you, Israel, have been unfaithful to me, declares the Lord. You see, here we go, where God expresses his heart, his longing, his desire to Israel. I thought you would call me father. And then there's this lament, like a woman unfaithful to her husband. And, you know, that kind of wounding, it's just so devastating. And so God is expressing the devastation he felt when his own people rejected him. And then, you know, when we come into the New Testament, you know, Jesus launches, his public ministry. He goes into the synagogue, and the book of Isaiah is opened up. And, you know, then Jesus actually reads from Isaiah, starting at verse 61, starting at verse 1, where he says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. So here's Jesus. He launches his public ministry, and he expresses the desire that his father has, because he also said, I only speak what I the words I hear my father speaking. I only do what I see my father doing. So everything that Jesus did was an expression of his father. And what was his father's heart? And this was the launch of his public ministry. It was to set the captives free, to proclaim good news to the poor, bind up the brokenhearted, and to release from darkness the prisoners. And so when we begin to understand, again, the very core of the heart of God is that he has a longing that we would be free, and in that freedom that we would voluntarily choose him. You know, we see this vulnerability again with Jesus when in Luke chapter 19, verses 41 to 44, and Jesus is looking over Jerusalem. And he is just absolutely gutted to the core. And verse 41 says, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. And verse 42 says, and said, if you had known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. And then, you know, he goes on to say, like, as a mother hen would just desire to gather her chicks, so would I have desired to gather you, but you were not willing. So again, what we see is this absolute beautiful desire from the heart of God, and very much like in Jeremiah, where God was saying, you know, I thought you would call me father. I want to give you a desirable land, treat you like my children, but you were not willing. And so then Jesus comes, and he opens up his heart and weeps over Jerusalem and just desires, like a mother hen desires to gather her chicks, so would I have desired to gather you, but you were not willing. You see, this is where the free will comes in, right? That he desired that we would choose him. But the reality is that love will never force or manipulate or coerce somebody. Love always has to allow us to freely choose or freely reject the love that he has given us. And all it really, you know, another example of that is in Luke chapter 15 with the prodigal son story, right? And we all know the story where there was two sons, right? And the prodigal son story in Luke 15 is really about the father. It's not about the two sons, because Jesus, when he tells the story, he says there was a man who had two sons. So the prodigal son story isn't about the sons, it's about the father. But the younger son came to him and said, you know, I want my inheritance. And, you know, basically, I want to cash in. And in that time, you know, that would have been an incredible, in that culture, it would have been incredibly disrespectful for that son to do that. Because basically, he was saying, I wish you were dead. I want my inheritance now. Even though you're alive, I want it now. And what did the loving father do? He had every right in that culture to severely punish his son for such a disrespect. But what did he do? The Bible says that he divided his inheritance among both brothers, and he gave his youngest son his inheritance, that he could just leave with the inheritance and just waste it on wine, women, and song. You see, this is how love works. Love does not coerce us or force us. Love gives us the freedom to choose. And of course, we know with the prodigal son story, you know, after the son had wasted all his resources and he was ending up in a pig pen of his own shame, you know, he came to his senses and said, what am I thinking? You know, even the servants in my father's house, you know, have food to eat. And so I'm going to go back and I'm going to say to my father, I'm no longer worthy to be your son. Let me serve. And so then he headed home, and then it says in the story that when he was a long way away, the father saw him, and he ran towards him. So to me, that indicates that the father was looking for him every day, that he was waiting and hoping and watching every day for his lost son to come home. And then, he ran toward him, and the Bible says that, you know, that the son went to do his thing, you know, and go into the speech, and I'm no longer worthy to be your son, let me serve. And the father would have none of it, and he fell on him. And the Bible says that he kissed them, but the Greek there is that he couldn't stop kissing him. And he put a robe on him and a ring of authority on his finger and sandals for his bare feet. And then they had a party. You see, this is the essence and the character and the nature of love. Love never forces itself. Love is just absolutely such a beautiful, kind, patient expression of the heart of God for us. And he wants us to walk in that, with that freedom that he's given us is an incredible gift. And it's a responsibility to it, but it's the very essence of love that never forces anything on us. Even when Jesus went to his hometown, you know, in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus goes to his hometown where he came from, and they took offense at him. And that's when Jesus said a prophet has no honor in his own country, in his own town. And I find verse 58 is very interesting. He says, and he did not do many miracles there, because of their lack of faith. Now, so here we go with this idea of free will, right? We can begin to understand what was Jesus' heart. His heart in that circumstance was to do miracles and to set the captives free and to open up blind eyes and to fulfill the mission why God sent him to come. But because of their unbelief, because of their offense, because of their resistance to his kindness and his love, even though he wanted to do all these miracles, he couldn't because of their unbelief. So I think one of the things that I just want to encourage you in this journey that we're all on, and just, you know, just relating to God as a father and just being able to understand the beautiful humility of love, the attributes of love, that love is just so gentle and so tenderhearted. And, you know, again, just like think of relationships. Like if you forced yourself on your spouse or your children or your friends and said, you have to love me, I'm going to make you love me, that's not love. The very essence of love is that we have always, every day, we have a choice. We have a choice to receive the love of God and believe it's true, or we have the choice of rejecting it, judging it, and just closing our hearts. But just like the father and the prodigal son story, I believe the father continues to pursue us and to wait for us. And he's kind and he's gentle and he's patient. You know, when in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8, Paul the Apostle writes the attributes of what love is, right? The very character and nature of love. And he says, starting in verse 4, he says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And so when we think about this idea of having a free will, that we're free to stay or we're free to leave, and we understand that the love of God is so patient with us and so kind to us, and it's not boastful or proud, and it doesn't dishonor us in any way, it never seeks its own, and it is not easily angered, but it keeps no records of wrong and does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, and it never fails. See, that's the love that the Father has for you and I. And the reality is that's the love that the Father has for every person on planet Earth. We know that this is the heart of God. You know, and of course, John 3:16 is the very essence of why Jesus came to Earth, when it says, therefore, God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, when we go and we look deeper and wider and higher and longer into the love of God, we kind of put those glasses on, the lens of love. When we begin to understand that there's absolutely no control or manipulation of the heart of God, and that God is free in the very essence of his being, and he wants us to be free, and he wants us to be free to choose to believe that he is who he says he is, and we are who he says we are. You see, it's the most amazing thing that I don't know about you, but I'm continually overwhelmed by the beautiful, humble love that God has for us. To think that God, who is an all-powerful God, placed himself in such humility is just absolutely mind-boggling. And vulnerability, you know, just like in Jeremiah 3, I thought you would call me Father, or in when Jesus just wept over Jerusalem, that as a mother hen desires to gather her chicks, so have I desired to gather you. That is the heart that God has for us. That Jesus, when we think of the cross even, you know, when Jesus came to his own, it says in John 1, I think verse 11, it says, he came to his own and his own did not receive him. And then in verse 12, it says, but as many as received him and believed on his name, to them he gave the right, the power to become children of God, not born of a husband's will, but born from God himself. You see, Jesus came to his own 2,000 years ago, and his heart was that they would receive him, and they rejected him. And of course, the cross is the ultimate expression of the cruelty and the brutality that of the rejection and the unbelieving heart, and that wanted to crucify him. But it was for love's sake that God became so vulnerable, that when he came to earth, you know, the beautiful indwelling of God in human flesh, when he became like us, the Bible says that Jesus was tempted in every way that we were, yet without sin. It is the most beautiful intimate expression of the love of God, that God has opened his heart up to us and freely expressed the longing that he has for us to call him Father. But with our free will, we have the choice to reject it or believe it. But yet the Holy Spirit never gives up. He never stops pursuing us. He never stops trying to convince us. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is poured out on all flesh. And in John 6, 44 and 45, Jesus is talking. And we can really see I just believe how the Holy Spirit is working in humanity today. Jesus said in verse 44, "No one can come to me unless the one who sent me draws him." In verse 45, he says, "For anyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me." And since the Holy Spirit is poured out on all flesh, and we know from 2 Peter 3:9 that God is not willing that one should perish, that we have this Father who is pursuing us just like the prodigal son, that, he's not going to force us to love him. He's not going to give like an only option, that there's always freedom to choose. Because if we didn't have freedom to choose, we would be robots. Like, we would have no choice but to be in the environment that he has forced us in. But for love's sake, just like in our relationships with one another, we have the freedom to love or we have the freedom to not love. And I really believe that, God moved heaven and earth to reconcile the world to himself. And, that's what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 21. And I'll just read that. It says, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation," that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore ambassadors of Christ, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You see, God has, through the cross, has reconciled the entire world to himself through Christ. He's not counting men's sins against them. But the reality is that in a ministry of reconciliation that we've been called to, what is our job? What is our co-laboring with Jesus, being ambassadors of Christ? But we are pleading with people. We are trying to convince them, be reconciled to God. You see, to be reconciled is two-way, right? You can't be reconciled if only one person's heart is turned towards the other. If the other person doesn't respond, then there isn't a reconciliation. And so that's what I truly believe the very essence of what my wife Ann and I have been doing for the last 26 years, sharing the Father Heart message, and it was right from the very essence of the beginning of our ministry. This was the core scripture from 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 21, that we are called to the ministry of reconciliation. We are pleading with people, be reconciled to God in Christ through Jesus, the Father. He's not angry. He's not counting your sins. He loves you. But there is a response. There's the freedom to respond to that or a freedom to reject that. And so this is what, I just want to kind of unpack today, is when we begin to understand that it costs the Godhead everything for us to have a free will, right? When you think about it, we know that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Bible says that God knows the end from the beginning, right? So it's like he just knows what will happen, and he knew what Adam and Eve would do before they did it, but he had to give them that choice. And that's why in Revelation 13:8, the Bible talks about Jesus being the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So God, in his infinite wisdom, made provision for the disobedience of humanity. Even before the foundation of the world, Jesus was the Lamb slain. So he already made provision for the bad choices that humanity made. that we could, you know, have this way back to God through Jesus. You know, John 14, 6 says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And you see, today, I truly believe the Father's heart, he's continuing to pour out the Holy Spirit on all flesh, not in all flesh, but on all flesh, just speaking about Jesus by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that we would respond, that humanity, every person on the planet, he's not willing that one should perish, that so he is patient. That's what the essence that God says, that he's patient and he waits for us because he's not willing for one to perish, that, you know, in the very essence of 1 Corinthians 13, which describes one of the attributes of love, as love is patient. But the desire that the Father has is that through our union with Jesus, through simply believing this is true, that we, our response, our freedom to choose would be that we would become reconciled to the Father and actually experience the freedom that he longs us to experience. You know, John, or Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees in John chapter 8, and he says earlier, he says that, you know, anyone who is a slave to sin, you know, he's in a slavery. But in verse 36, he says, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And you see, that is the very essence of the Father's heart for us today, I believe, is that he wants us to walk in a freedom where we can choose to believe that he is who he says he is, that we are who he says we are, and that we would be able to say yes and amen to that. In Galatians 5:1, Paul talks about the very essence of the love that God has for us to walk in this freedom, where he says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You know, one of the things, you know, that I, when I speak at schools, I do this pretty much every school. And what I do, I try to be gentle with it. But, you know, there's so many people who struggle to believe that this is true, that God loves them and he's the Father that they've been looking for their entire life. Or, that, you know, maybe because of circumstances in their own life, or maybe it's because of judgments people have made over them, that they do not believe that God loves them. You know, Ann and I have prayed for people over the years, and, you know, before we pray, they look at us and they just say, I do not believe that God loves me. And what I always encourage at the beginning of the schools when I teach is just, my encouragement is not to make that kind of statement. You know, it's okay to be authentic and that you struggle to believe that God loves you. But, you know, my encouragement is to be able to in your the very essence of who you are is to declare that, yes, even though I struggle with these things, the Father does love me. But not to make this declaration. Now, God can get over any wall that we build, but it just makes it harder when we make a declaration that says, I do not believe that God loves me. There's a story in Mark 9, verses 14 to 24, where this man comes to Jesus. And he wants his son delivered from a tormenting spirit. And Jesus, in verse 24, in verse 23, Jesus says to him, he says, do you believe? And in verse 24, the man responds and says, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. And, you know, other translations say, you know, I believe, help my unbelief. And the one thing I want to encourage you in your own journey, in this all, you know, this whole unpacking of, you know, the freedom to choose, freedom to stay, freedom to leave, freedom to believe, freedom to doubt, all those things, you know, God is not forcing us into some cookie cutter expression of what he wants us to be. He is giving us freedom to come and go, just like he did with the younger brother in the prodigal son story. But would you be willing to be authentic? Just like this man was, when Jesus said, do you believe? Do you believe I can heal your son? The father said, I believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. Help, you know, like see, he was basically saying there's things in me that struggle to believe this is true. But I still believe. And what I would be encouraging you is that, would you be willing to, if you struggle to believe that God loves you, would you be willing to declare even today that the Father's great love is for you, despite what you feel or whatever your circumstances are telling you. Because you see, I truly believe that we have a unique opportunity this side of heaven to trust God in the face of adversity. When we get to heaven, you know, and we are there with, and the Bible says, when we see Jesus as he is, we will be like him, and that, you know, there will be no more pain, there will be no more grief or tears, because we will be with God himself. The opportunity to exercise the faith, to say, Lord, I believe, I choose to believe that you are who you say you are, and I am who you say I am, just because of your great love for me. And, you know, the Father absolutely loves it when we choose to believe that he is who he says he is, and that we are who he says we are in Christ. And so, you know, even if you're facing adversity today, even if you're struggling to believe, you know, my encouragement is to exercise that glorious freedom that God has given you, that free will to say, Lord, I believe. And if there's areas in your heart that struggle to believe this to be true, you know, just be authentic and say, help these areas of unbelief that I still struggle with. Because when we look at the story in where Jesus said to the man, you know, do you believe I can heal your son? And he said, yes, I believe, help my unbelief. That was enough for Jesus, because he wants us to have an authentic response to him. It's not like he's trying to get us to parrot something that we think he wants us to say. He wants us to be authentic in our relationship with him. And if we're struggling, you know, we can be honest with him, and he understands like no one else could ever understand. But my encouragement to you is that, you know, you wouldn't agree with the lies that say you're not loved, that you wouldn't agree with the culture that says that you're an orphan and you have to do everything on your own, but that you would, like me, would agree with what God says and how he declares his great love for us, in the longing he has to call us his children, and that we can call him Father. You know, Romans 8, 35 to 39, Paul talks about there's so many things that can try to separate us from the love of God. Verse 35, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. If you are struggling today, and you're feeling separated, if you're feeling somehow disqualified, you know, maybe, I'm not trying to, you know, say something that's a magical formula, it's not, but maybe even taking the time, even every day, once a day, reading out loud Romans 8, 35 to 39, that, you know, and maybe personalizing it for your circumstance, so that even though there, you know, everything in you or your circumstances might be screaming about, you know, your circumstances and you struggling to believe your love, that who shall separate me from the love of Christ? You know, to make it that kind of personal declaration, knowing all these things, I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me. And I am convinced, just like Paul said, that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Would you be willing to ask God to help you to be able to come into a place that, Lord, I believe, help the areas of unbelief that I have, that you would know that God has created you to be free, that you, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is absolute freedom. And in that freedom, we can choose to live in his love every day of our lives. And that, you know, when we begin to understand that, that the Father's great love, just the very essence of love itself, freedom has to be present for us to be able to choose to believe that he is who he says he is. So I just want to just take, I'm going to put the music on, and I'm just going to spend a little bit of time, just maybe we could just pray that God would just overwhelm each and every one of us with just a deeper reminder of his humble love towards each one of us. That in his heart, he has chosen to be vulnerable. He has opened his heart towards us, and he freely expresses his great love for us in Christ. And in doing so, he has made himself incredibly vulnerable. That he would be, people could reject him, people could hate him, people could not believe him. One of the things that when I think about, there's a scripture that speaks about, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, which you've been given for the day of redemption. And when I've done study on that in the past, one of the descriptions of the Greek word for grieving the Holy Spirit's heart, grieve the Holy Spirit, is do not break his heart. When we begin to understand that the beautiful humility and the vulnerability of love that has given us the freedom to come and go, to leave the house, come back to the house. But just like the prodigal son story, the Father is waiting and watching for each and every one of us to return. So Father, I just pray in the name of my brother Jesus, that you would show each and every one of us in a deeper way today than ever before the beautiful humility of your love, the vulnerability of your love, that you have opened your heart up to us and you have risked being rejected by us. Just like with Israel in the Old Testament, when you said, I thought you would call me Father and not turn away from following me. Father, I just pray that we would know that you have entrusted us with the freedom to choose you today. The freedom to believe that you are who you say you are and we are who you say we are. And Father, we just ask now that you would help us with anything in our lives, any circumstance, any theology, any judgments that have been made over us that cause us to struggle to believe this to be true. And Father, because we were created in your image and we were created to be free and to have a free will, help us today to choose to believe that we are lovable. That the longing in your heart is that we would call you Father. And I just pray even now, Father, that the Abba cry in our very being, the very core of our being, the Abba cry that says, you really are my Father, would begin to well up in our beings. That the Holy Spirit, even now, would bear witness with our spirits that we are your children and that we are heirs of God. We are legitimate heirs of God right now. Here on planet Earth. And at the same time, we are joint heirs with Jesus in the immeasurable kingdom of the Son of your love. So I just encourage you as we're just, you know, even just sitting here for a moment, that you would just, if there's any unbelief, any doubt, any fear, any lies that you have agreed with, that you have chosen to just believe something that isn't true, that you would just break agreement with those things now. And that you would be able to declare with the Apostle Paul that nothing in all creation could ever separate you from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Any feelings of separation, even in this moment, are but an illusion. So Father, I just pray even now that you would help us. Whoa. Father, help us to be able to go deeper and wider and higher and longer into the immeasurable love that you have for us in Christ. And that even today, Father, we would dare to believe, we would exercise our free will to dare to believe that you want to fill us with the full measure of your fullness. I just encourage you to just take a deep breath. Wow. Just receive all the love the Father has for you right now. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He created you to have a glorious freedom. And all creation, in Romans 8 it also says, is groaning and waiting and travailing for the revealing of the children of God, so that creation itself can actually enter into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Thank you, Father, for making us in your image. Thank you that we are free to choose. And today we choose to believe in Jesus. We choose to believe in your great love for us. We choose to believe that through the finished work of Jesus on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, his Father has become our Father. Whoa. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we are in the tree of life. We are in the tree of life. Jesus said in John 15, he said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Wow. We are connected to the vine. Thank you, Father. Wow. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining me. I'm not sure if any of that made sense, but I was able to share, you know, in my heart what was there. It's just that God has created us to be free, and it's that in that freedom that we can choose to believe that he is who he says he is, and how much that delights his heart, that in this orphan world system, in the darkness, in the struggle, we can declare who he is and his great love. And that's when faith rises up, right? And he just is so amazed with our faith. So thanks so much for joining us. As we just leave for today, I'm just going to put on a short 2-minute video, maybe to encourage you of who you really are and the Father's great love. So thanks so much. And hopefully we'll see you next week.